He's kind of like the Joe Rogan of the hospitality industry right now.
I really knew that I had to build a profile for myself and my business in my community as being the people to go to, the experts on Airbnb. And the way you need to do this is simply by giving information.
Welcome to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast where we discuss all things hospitality, hotels, and business. You can find us online at slicktalkthepodcast.com and on every podcast listening platform.
Hey everybody, I don't mean to break away from the episode, but hear me out really quick. Let's talk about dynamic pricing. Recently, I did an in-depth demo with Andrew Kitchell, the CEO and founder of Wheelhouse. Now I'm going to tell you what a great product and tool for property managers to use, since now is a time that we all know that you cannot leave money on the table. As the short-term rental segment of hospitality gets more advanced, revenue management and dynamic pricing will help you and your team keep your eye on the prize while maintaining excellent service. Now, if you're a property manager of any size, go ahead and check them out and let them know that Will sent you. Or you can just click the link below and you will be pleasantly surprised. Now, back to the show. All right, everybody. Welcome back to Slick Talk, the hospitality podcast. I'm your host, Will Slickers. Today's a really fun episode. I have my friend all the way from Australia, Julie George, the million dollar host on Slick Talk. What a pleasure. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
Hello. G'day from Australia. Super, super excited to finally make it onto Slick Talk. I've been hanging out for this invitation for a long time, Will Slickers. I finally got one.
Make me sound like I'm a horrible host and just like holding invitations in front of people and be like, do you really want it? Do you?
I do really want it. I want to be on your show. And it's just exciting to be able to talk to you. And I think we were just saying before that it's nice to actually see each other because we talk all the time on Clubhouse or on other mediums, or seeing your Facebook post, Will, but to actually now be able to have a conversation with you, I feel like I know you even better.
I know, it's like we've been lifelong friends that are like leading up to this big debut to the world. It's like, hello, we're here. Well, that's very true. And I was going to say Clubhouse has been, I'm pretty sure the same thing for you. It's like crack house is what a lot of people have been saying. It's addicting. I'm on it all the time.
And I see you on it all the time. It is hard to get any sleep. I tell you what, that fear of missing out marketing that they implemented just to get us on that platform by saying it's only for iPhone users, it's not for Android, you need an invitation. Holy moly, everyone wants in. I mean, I didn't know what I was getting into. When I got an invitation, I thought, I don't know what Clubhouse is, what the hell, I don't need another social media platform in my life. When I've gotten onto it, I can't get off the bloody thing. It is addictive. And it's just, puts me in connection with people like yourself every day who I now feel like I've got a tribe of people out there that, even though I haven't met in person, I just know one day when we all get together, there's going to be a hell of a party.
They're going to need to open up a real Clubhouse for all the Clubhouse users to come to and finally meet. Like once all this COVID stuff is over, they're going to have to.
Now, there you go. So anyone who's tuning in, who's got a big hotel or a convention space, that should be your first event.
That's very true. We should have, you got my brain thinking. You give so many like business ideas on Clubhouse and now it's always like, So sorry, Slick Talkers. We're just going to talk about business ideas now and go off, off script.
Let's put some deals together. Anybody who wants to come in, you need to get in touch with Will Slickers or Julie George. And we're putting together a convention. There we go. That's our Clubhouse convention post-COVID. So
yes, we're going to go clubbing for real.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, obviously you have built up and kind of like what you were saying pre-recording, you've built up quite the audience and of course the hype and buzz around what you have been building behind the scenes for, I don't know how many years were you building your business?
Not very long, Will. So here's the secret. I only listed my first property on Airbnb in 2016. So less than 5 years ago, I didn't even know about Airbnb. I had no concept. And when I had a one-bedroom apartment become available, I thought, all right, it's furnished. It's one bedroom. It's right on the fringe of the city. Let's find out what this fuss is about with Airbnb. Let's put some linen in. We'll turn the Wi-Fi on. We'll take some photos. We'll put the listing up. And holy moly, we went, you know, suddenly I went from 240 a week to 600 a week in just less than no time at all. So I just, yeah, it's just incredible. So it's blown my mind, but only a very, very short time. And yeah, just incredible.
I was going to say, so let's dive into your background, because I do remember from reading a little bit about your book and a few other things that you were in the real estate market. So I want to know really your background and who you are and what really got to those leading moments of getting into the short-term rental market.
Yeah, sure. So I guess I had done a lot of things in my past, and starting with a hotel management degree at university, which I was just explaining to you that, you know, after I did my couple of years at uni, I learned how to be a housewife is how I described it, because I learned how to cook and clean. And my favorite course was the bartending, so I could learn to make the cocktails. But then, of course, I drank so many of the cocktails, I can't remember how to make the cocktails. So I pretty much finished that course going, I'm never going to manage a hotel in my life. I then went on to working in tourism, advertising, selling phone book advertising. You know, do you even know what a phone book is, Will?
I say, I get them in my door and then I throw them away.
Yeah. They're good for propping up your computer monitor, but that's about it. You know, so I then stumbled into, well, I didn't stumble. I actually always had a passion for real estate, and I'd built up a portfolio of properties myself over the years. And I really wanted to learn more. So I got into, I did my real estate course. I became a broker, and I found myself sitting in open homes on the weekends with nobody coming through, and I was bored. And I really felt like, gosh, there's got to be something more to this. So so it was when I could actually see the Airbnb changed my life by giving me more money and a new business concept that I thought, there's probably property investors out there that can benefit from the same thing that I've done. And it was really about making that opportunity come to life with starting an Airbnb property management company and offering those services to manage other people's houses and take a little portion of it myself to manage the day-to-day operations of short-term rentals. So, yeah. Sorry, I've forgotten your question already, Will.
It's okay. I was going to say, so you're a real estate broker. You have all these properties, all these open houses. When did you really get into, was this like your first property, the one bedroom apartment? Was that one of your own, or was that a customer or a client that you were listing for sale, or what was the kind of the story?
So it was my own. I had a few properties, but that was the first one that I put on was my own. And I would always say to people, if you're even considering getting into this industry, just try it out on your own property first, or get a little property just to learn from, because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to have to learn how the platform operates. You need to understand how hospitality operates. I mean, you know, hopefully most of the people listening in have a hospitality background and have an understanding of what a guest would want when they come to stay a night in, you know, in a property that they're paying for. You know, they're wanting clean linen, they're wanting good service, they're wanting swift replies to messages, that type of thing. But for those people who have never worked in hospitality or never understood that side of things, it's a 24/7 gig. Like, it is full on. And for that first 12 months, you know, I learned the hard way that you have to put in a lot of work. So I did it myself, but the concept really came about when I was, I had an investor come to me working in real estate. They came to me and they said, Julie, we want a positively cash flow property. Can you help us? And, you know, there were lots of books written about positive cash flow properties years ago. Unfortunately, there just weren't any. And I said to this woman, I'm sorry, but, you know, you're an interstate investor. You've flown up all this way to Cairns. You obviously want this property. They're like unicorns. They just don't exist. But how about we create one for you? So let's go out. Let's find your property that you would like to vacation in yourself. Purchase that property, which she found one and she did. let's furnish the property. And because you live interstate and you can't, you're not here to do that yourself, I'm going to put my hand up and I'm going to do it for you, but I'm going to charge you a fee. And then thirdly, let's list it on Airbnb and I will manage the process for you. And it was through that little project that I could see the potential. She loved the option and she loved the money coming in. And in fact, it worked so well that 6 months later, she rang me and she said, do it again, do it again. Go and get me another one. So I did. But that was really, that's when the light bulbs went off and went, geez, I'm onto something here. This, you know, in Australia, we hadn't, there wasn't anybody that was doing this Airbnb or short-term property management. I could see that in America, there were a few. In the UK, South Africa, there was a really big company there doing it. And I thought, it can work here. If, you know, as long as we've got properties that people want to list on short-term rentals, a lot of people that want to get into the game don't have the time, don't have the experience, don't have the skill set to be able to do it. So they're happy to hand over to a professional. And I was then just charging a commission. So I would charge 25% of the nightly rate, plus keep the cleaning fee from the guests. So that's kind of how it started off. And my whole philosophy was to keep it super simple. No extra fees, no extra charges, 25% anything coming in. So then they could easily see what money they were making. And it was usually twice as much as they would make with a long-term lease. So it was win-win-win all round.
And I was going to say, yeah, you make it so many good points going into the fee structure. But for when you were doing this, do you think your real estate background really played like the role of success? Like you're able to go like buy it or not buy it, but really be the listing agent or the real estate agent for that client and then do all the stuff with your license and your brokerage? I
think it helped initially, but it probably the way it helped the most was that it gave me credibility. And it really, in my community, having, when I was able to advertise, you know, have your Airbnb property listed, managed by a licensed realtor, that actually was the one thing that people felt really secure and comfortable with. And they knew that although the money from Airbnb, the rental money coming in on that property was coming to me, it was going into a trust account. And a trust account is, you know, if people aren't familiar, it's a bank account you just can't touch. By law, the government makes sure that you are holding other people's money in an account that cannot be actioned for anything else other than at the end of the month given to the property owner, and then you take your commission out of. So I think if anything, it just gave me a bit of credibility. You don't need to be a real estate agent though. And that's the main thing is that you don't even need that hospitality background. You just need a willingness to learn. And I think by doing, anybody who's listening to this podcast is doing exactly the right thing. Do your research, read books. I've got a good one here on my counter that you can read, but read books, listen to podcasts, get on Clubhouse, tap into some experts, because the one thing I was missing when I started off was any help. There was nobody to mentor me. There was nobody to hold my hand and nobody to show me the ropes. Now there are so many people like myself or other experts in the field that I have got courses that you can do, and you can really just, you can skip over all the mistakes that we made and then jump straight into finding the success story.
Very true. And the not having a hospitality background, like you just have to be okay with people. That's like my one thing. I always tell like my dad, he's kind of like the grumpy old man. And so I'm like, yeah, maybe you shouldn't talk to the guests. Like you can help set up everything, but you're kind of grumpy sometimes. So I don't think this is a good idea, but people like my mom would be great.
Send your dad in when they've had a party.
Exactly. You could be security. But no, just being able to be with people. I always tell that is like, if you can communicate properly, if you can have an imagination and be able to see a vision and create it, whether it's what you saw in your head or not, I think it's the fun part about it is that you get to be as creative as you want. You go for all sorts of different properties, whether it's multifamily, single family home, beach properties, city, you name it. There's so many options that you can go into. So that's what I think is really cool about it. With that though, in 2016, there weren't many tools, like you said, like nobody was there to hold your hand. It was literally you have a listing platform, your camera, and be able to like create a good title and a listing detail. So pretty much what my point is like, how the hell did you keep up with 130 properties at once?
And this is where I need to put my hand up and say, I'm terrible with tech. I have no concept. I only 2 weeks ago, I had to get my 22-year-old son to show me how to use Instagram. So I promise you folks that if you're tuning in now and you're not a tech head, I can tell you it can be done. So 130 properties is where I got to in 2019. You know, we had $8 million coming in on the Airbnb platform. Like, you know, big, big operation, lots of staff, lots of guests. And on any one night, I might have 400 or 500 people staying in my properties. So we were considered to be one of the biggest pseudo hotels in the region, which is a whole nother story. But how did we run it? What tech did we use to run it? I used the Airbnb app on my phone and on the computer, Airbnb only. I didn't go with any other platforms. I did try them. I didn't like them. So sorry, anybody listening in on those other platforms. Airbnb were just amazing. And, you know, if I probably could get an Airbnb tattoo, if I could stand the pain, I probably would. So Mr. Chesky, if you want to sponsor that. But I used the Airbnb app. I used Xero for the accounting. So my general accounting was done on the Xero software. And then I had a real estate software, which I was called REI Master. And I used another one called Console. So anybody, and that was purely because I needed to do reports and owner statements at the end of each month to meet my audit requirements for the trust account that I had with my real estate side of things, the side of the business. That was it. I didn't use any pricing. I did dabble with AirDNA for a little bit, but then I thought I knew better than AirDNA. Yeah, right. It scares me now because
I won't tell Scott.
I was speaking to Andrew Kitchell this morning. He's got an amazing software platform called Wheelhouse, a pricing software. And I said to him, look, I did really well because I thought I knew it all. How well could I have done if I had implemented your software into my business? It scares the crap out of me to think I probably could have done a lot more than $8 million. But my, I guess what I would say to people is reassure you that you don't need a lot of tech, but if you do have that tech, it probably is going to benefit you in some way. So, but it can be done without it.
It's very true. And I was just going to say, like, the tech side of things is kind of crazy. There's so many options. There's so many things out there right now, especially with COVID. Like, I think it just sped everything up so much. So it's funny that you mentioned AirDNA and Wheelhouse, but with your first property, how did you scale to 130? What was like, because obviously you had that the community of your real estate, you know, that trust factor, the people that, you know, you just had a good reputation. But what was your go-to method? You must have been a bull just going after all these people.
It's interesting. So there's two sides of it. It's getting the listings, but also how to manage that operation and how to deliver the services, because that's a lot of properties. That's a lot of logistics that go into that. So let me start with that side first, and then I'm going to tell you how we got all the properties. So the first thing was I straight away knew that I wanted to work on my business, not in it. And to do that, you need a really good team. So as soon as I had about 5 properties, I actually found my first co-host. Now, this is a gentleman by the name of Glenn. Glenn was 73 when I took him on. He had come to the end of his advertising career, and Glenn and I had worked together selling phone book advertising. So, you know, very different. But he got to the end of his career and he wasn't ready to retire. He said, Julie, can I do something for you? And I said, yes. Have you got a mop? Have you got a bucket? And do you know how to work a vacuum cleaner? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, here's 5 properties. I want you to look after those. And in the end, he had 10 properties. But here's your little franchise. And I looked at it like a business opportunity for this gentleman. And I said, here's your franchise of 10 properties. What I want you to do, Glenn, is I want you to co-host onto my main Airbnb profile. So all of the properties were listed under Julie on Airbnb. Glenn came on as a co-host. Now, Glenn then was able to take care of all the messaging for those properties. he would come introduce him. Like when they would say, "Hey, Julie, I'd like to stay at your property," he'd come back and go, "Hi, this is Glenn. I'm a co-host for Julie." Now, people didn't know they were coming to a business. They just thought they were coming to Julie's house. So they thought Glenn was my my dad or my older lover or whatever they wanted to believe. I don't know. It's scary, really, what they would have thought. But he took care of the messaging. He met them face to face. Now, this was our other point of difference, was we met every single guest face to face. Now, that gave a lot of assurance back to the property owners as well. They love that. He then took care of the cleaning at the end. He then also checked for damages, and he was able to report any damages or any maintenance and repairs that needed looking at straight away back to me. And then he would reset and he would do it all again. So I was able to really set and forget those five properties. And I, while he was looking after the existing properties, I went out and I got more properties in. And that's how we were able to scale up very quickly. And so I just kept replicating that with little pods of like a co-host in the beaches, somebody in the city, and I would do it by geographical location so that my people wouldn't have to travel very far from home, that they could really just go a few minutes down the road, look after the guests, and it really, it allowed them to have ownership. So how I would work it, I gave them a set fee of the cleaning fee that I collected from the guests would go directly to them, plus 6% of the 25% that I was charging the owner. So every booking that I saw coming through, I knew I had a guaranteed 19% of that coming to me. And all I was doing for that was I was looking after the financials. I was looking after the bookings and I was looking after the calendar and the pricing initially, until I employed someone to do that for me, which came about 12 months after I started. But I was also, I was anything to do with money, paying contractors or anything, that was me. But I was also providing the consumables. So the toilet paper, the shampoo, the conditioner, the tea, coffee, which wasn't very much. So 19% of every booking was coming to me. And that's how I could really scale up the business super quick. Coming to the other part of that question originally was, you know, how do we scale so fast and how do we get the properties? And it was all about the marketing. And when I first started the business, I really knew that I had to build a profile for myself and my business in my community as being the people to go to, the experts on Airbnb. And the way you need to do this is simply by giving information, being able to tell people or help people. And the way I chose to do that was through a glossy magazine. I was able to put 4 articles in that magazine, a monthly magazine. So 4 months in a row, I put a big full page article about how to list your property for Christmas and how to take a vacation and earn money on your property over Christmas, or what the top 10 tips are to managing your own Airbnb property. So I wasn't pushing my services. I was helping other people engage the idea of Airbnb. But however, right next to that full page article was a full page ad that I would run. And it was talking about, you know, for professional property management with a licensed real estate agent, come to Julie. And, you know, it just so happens that then when these magazines hang around for quite a few months, so it might be 6 months down the track, somebody actually thinks, oh, I actually think I might give this a go. Who was that girl that is the professional? I'll go to her. And of course, you're top of mind at all times. So what I would suggest to people that are wanting to replicate my success is build your profile, build your brand, whether it's social media, whether it's newspapers, whether it's traditional advertising, but then have people chase you. You want to have people knocking on your door saying, can you take my keys? I would like you to manage my property. And then you've got the luxury of being able to say yes or no. And it's okay to say no to some properties and some property owners.
100%. Yeah. 100%. I've said no plenty of times.
And it's okay to break up with them too. I tell you, that's the best feeling in the world. It's almost better than breaking up with an ex, is when you can get rid of a property owner who gives you the poos. I won't say shit. Actually, I said shit. But yeah, get rid of them. Because honestly, if you can get rid of that 20% of people causing you 80% of the troubles, yep, you will be much better off for it.
The 80-20 rule for sure, yep, is great. Well, that's really, you make a lot of good points. And I love the method that you were going, like, just, it's incredible because you see management companies now and how they're structured and what they're doing and how they're scaling and then how simple yet complicated we've made it. Like, it's, it was so simple for you, like, just to like, all right, one platform, get co-hosts, have them take care of their properties. I do the back end stuff and the simple structure you created. Now it's like, we have this and that and that and that and that and all these tech pieces and the tech stack and like all these contracts and lawyers. And yeah, it's just like,
I see so many businesses overcomplicating their systems and with all these layers and levels of, you know, you've got the guest dealing with a VA in the Philippines, and then they're dealing with somebody else cleaning the property. And then they're dealing with somebody else talking about, you know, like, or property owners having to deal with more than one person is just, it's not on. Like, you've got to keep it super simple and you don't have to overcomplicate it to have a successful business. I promise you.
100%. I agree. Well, so we were talking like pre-recording. Obviously, I want to talk about your book as well, but I want to know for my hotel people, because, you know, I'm a hybrid. I like hotels. I like vacation rentals. So I try to address for all my audience, but what is like the top, I would say, 5 tips that you would say for hotels that want to get on the Airbnb platform? Because when I was a hotel manager in the Oregon coast, we were one of the first hotels to actually onboard with Airbnb and get our few rooms. Out of 70 units, we put about 10 of them on Airbnb. And so obviously people can take my word for it, but I want your top like 5 or so that you can say, this is why you should onboard and what you can expect.
Yeah, that's a very good question because I would really like to see hotels embracing short-term rental platforms. A lot of them are seeing them as competition, but don't see them as competition. You know, you guys have already, and I'm speaking to hotels right now, hoteliers, you have got the most amazing starting point when it comes to getting on the Airbnb platform, especially. I just think that you're already professionals. You already know how to have a clean property. Now it's time to embrace this new platform. So the first thing is that you're going to reach a whole new audience. There is a huge target market out there that are just thinking, I'm going to book on Airbnb. They're not looking at other platforms anymore. They're not going directly to hotel booking sites. They love Airbnb. They love the concept of the reviewing system, the reciprocal reviewing. They love getting a pat on the back when they do something right. So people have embraced Airbnb and there are millions of them. So firstly, you're going to embrace this whole new audience. Secondly, the audience are probably going to be the best guests that you could ever hope for because of that reciprocal review platform. So what happens is that, yeah, you're being reviewed, but they are also being reviewed. So how cool is that the guests are being reviewed? They're on their very best behavior and they are hoping for a little pat on the back, as I was saying. So they're going to behave themselves. They're not going to have parties. They're not going to leave a messy room. Number 3 is that Airbnb, listing on Airbnb is going to make you as hoteliers pull your socks up. You are going, because you're being reviewed, right? I know that, yes, you can be reviewed on other, like, there are other review platforms, but if you get a bad review on Airbnb for having hair on the pillow or something really minor, it can actually kill your business. So you are going to make sure that you are offering everything that you possibly can to your Airbnb guests that are coming through. I'm just trying to think what else. This is super important. Your staff, number 4, your staff are going to thank you because suddenly not only are they dealing with, well, you know, guests can be freaking rude sometimes and they can be not very nice to your staff. But in this case, because of that reciprocal review, and it's all coming back to that platform, and this is why I love dealing with them, is that your housekeeping staff are going to walk into a clean room. You are going to have, like, your receptionists are going to have polite, mannered people who are not going to be demanding. And I just think that you will find that your staff will be very thankful. Now, the last tip I'm going to give you is probably the scary part. So we hear a lot in the media about Airbnb incites a lot of parties. and that it's all connected, right? So it's not all bells and whistles. However, I can count on one hand how many times I had to deal with an incident in my properties, and I had, you know, I had probably 5,000 or 6,000 people, stays, actually more than that, because I had 400 or 500 people a night. Anyway,
yeah,
a lot of people, probably 5 incidents I recall that absolutely turned my stomach and made me second guess why I was doing this. But here's the clincher. This is why you want to be on Airbnb, because if the worst happens, if you walk in and the room is trashed, so let's just say that you've had the rock band from hell come in, they've, you know, thrown the TVs out the window or whatever, you know, I'm watching too much TV. But if that occurs, you are backed up. Airbnb have $1 million host guarantee. And what that means is that if you can take photos, if you can put a claim in and prove that the guests have caused damage, so you need photos, you need sometimes a police report, sometimes you might need to get a quotation from a contractor to say what it will cost to repaint the wall or to replace the television. But if you can get all that paperwork together and submit it, if the guest does not pay for the damages, Airbnb will pay for the damages. And I have always had my claims approved. There is some techniques there to get it done, but I promise you, you're covered. So I guess that's probably my five reasons that a hotel would want to get on. But I would just absolutely encourage you to do so, because you just might find it's a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guests that we had that stayed from the Airbnb platform itself, one, we're shocked that we were a hotel, because we were a condominium hotel. So we are like all suites. It's like a mini apartment, basically. And they would stay and they would like walk through the lobby and be like, are we at the right place? And it was like, yes, you're at the right place. But they're pretty easygoing, because they're already expecting like a house where they have to do everything themselves. So the perks of the hotel amenities, such as like maybe complimentary breakfast or a pool, or well, the pool that they knew, but like housekeeping service, that's all stuff that they weren't expecting. So not at all. So they're pretty chill and laid back. Like, I don't think I ever had them once like at the front desk be bugging and complaining or doing anything. They're pretty well sufficient guests, which I really like. And of course, like you said, the reviewing platform really helps. I think both parties on booking and Expedia, you don't have that option as a hotelier. So we had a lot more issues with guests from OTAs other than Airbnb, rather than Airbnb itself. So I think you make a bunch of really good points.
I'm just thinking too, Will, and I'm probably going to take us in a bit of a different direction here, but I had a business, there was a business model that I came up with, and I dabbled with it a little bit, but anybody who wants to make some money, get your pen and paper out now, because I'm going to give you a business idea, and it is about creating a booking agent business. And what this is, there's a lot of hotels and motels and smaller accommodation providers who are out there that are not on Airbnb. Now, these are people that are possibly, because their channel manager, their PMS or their channel manager is just not, it doesn't connect to Airbnb, and there's plenty of those out there. So traditional hotel channel managers just don't. Why don't you, listener, Mr. Listener, who's listening in right now, if you were to go and talk to them, to the little inn down the road or the van park or the RV park or whatever it might be, go and offer your services to list their accommodations on Airbnb. You become the middleman. You actually do all the listing, but what you do is you create it in their name. So you create a listing under that, let's say the Hilton Hotel. Let's not muck around. Let's go to the big guys, right? So we go to the Hilton Hotel chain. We say, we're going to list you. We're going to create a profile on Airbnb under the Hilton Hotel. I'm going to create it using my referral link from my Airbnb account. So I get a kickback from Airbnb. So that's number one. We're going to make some money like that. But number two is I'm going to co-host myself back onto your account. So I then can take control and do all, I can set up your listings. I can set up your different room types. I can take control and do all your messaging to your guests and ultimately become like a reservations department for the Hilton Hotel. what that means is then you take 15%. So this is how much I charge for this service. I took 15% of the nightly rate. But the clincher is I don't have to do any of the cleaning. I don't have to do any of the housework or any of the preparation for the guests. I don't have to worry about the guests at all, in fact, because all I'm doing is taking the booking. I'm relaying that every day to the hotel and saying, okay, so tomorrow we've got Mr. and Mrs. Smith coming in. And then on Thursday, we've got the whole family are coming in and there's a group of four kids coming in that day. So all you're doing is on a daily basis, contacting the hotel, working in or syncing in with their calendars, and you become the middleman, but you take the commission. And this is a business concept that I did operate here in Cairns just for a couple of hotels because I just wanted to dabble and see if it worked. It worked perfectly. And
can I ask you one thing off of that?
Yes.
What if a hotel sold out? Like, what if they sell out after your guest is booked? Has that ever happened?
No, it didn't ever happen. So I guess you'd have to be really, I don't know whether you can actually sync your calendars with them. But there's a good point. So that's something that you would have to consider is that. I just think that you could actually then create this model where, you know, if you're a stay at home mom, or if you're not a cleaner at all, you don't like cleaning, and who does? You actually could, there's so many ways of skinning a cat with this business and to create a business opportunity and do it nationally, do it internationally, and, create something. Actually, there is one guy that I've come across that is doing this. Braden Ross, he calls himself Mr. Airbnb, but he has got billions of dollars of properties listed and he is just the middleman. He is the marketing guru and the booking agent. And so I think he is incredible, but I haven't come across anybody else doing this. So there we go. You heard it first on Will Slicker's Slick Talk. And if you do make $1 million, I want you to come back and let me know and you get to buy the drinks, whoever is the entrepreneur.
That's awesome. That's the best deal. I've always heard a couple of like people like Shark Tank, for example, is like, once you hit this certain record, you're buying rounds. And it's like, okay, I like that. That's a good one. I want that deal. No, that's so awesome. And so, Julie, when did you write the book? I'm guessing this is, if you're just giving these bombs and ideas right here on the podcast, just off the top of your head, I'm assuming the book has probably 20,000 times more inside. So when did you write the book and what's your book in?
So the book actually was released in 2018. So it was about probably 18 months to two, actually, yeah, it wasn't even quite the 2 year mark. And the reason I did write the book, and you can see the title Million Dollar Host, I hit my $1 million in the first year. And so many people came to me and said, how did you do it? How did you scale up so quickly? And they were super excited. So I thought, rather than repeat that answer, let's write it down. But I also wrote the book on another level as well, because I had a son who was about 20 at that time who didn't know anything about mum and what mum had done. I thought, well, I'm going to write it down. I'm going to leave a legacy so that even, you know, it might not be for a few years, but one day he might read the book and go, oh, this is what mum did. I'm really proud of her. Or his children might be able to read it. And well, after I'm gone, the one thing we are all certain of is that we're not going to live forever. So the book will outlast me. And so that was the reason I did it. But so it does give a lot of those ideas. In fact, it does even talk about that, that booking agent model. It does talk about that in the book. But what it doesn't talk about is what happened in the second half of my business. So that was 2018 that the book was released. 2019 was when I got a tap on the shoulder. I'd grown the business to 130 properties and we'd generated $8 million income. And that's when I got the tap on the shoulder to sell my business. And so unfortunately that part of the story isn't in the book, but I think I might need to write an extra chapter and sell that, because that's kind of a story in itself, you know, being able to build a saleable asset and then being able to sell that. And now I get to consult, mentor, and, you know, my goal and my vision for 2021 is to really help 5 new people come into that millionaire status and pull them and mentor them and be on their team to help them grow their business to that scale where they can say, well, I'm now $1 million host too. So,
well, I think you're already on your way to it, because I got off of a Zoom call today with one of our friends from Clubhouse who is a part of your guys' group in Deanna. Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
She's, I'm 3 weeks or 4 weeks into coaching her. And so I meet with Deanna every week and we talk for an hour or two. And then, so I'm doing this in conjunction with Eric Moller from STR mm-hmm. Legends. So Eric and I are coaching Deanna and Dina, sorry, I'm probably pronouncing her name wrong. So that's terrible. Get that right, Julie. But Dina, we coach her and our thing is for 90 days, I'm going to be on her team. So I am part of the Keys to Kelowna team, and I always get the business name wrong too, but where I can't get it right with pronunciation, I can get it right with business strategies. And we actively, so last week for instance, and I'm sure she won't mind me talking about this, we were working through her contract that she puts out to her owners, then we were working on her contract that she gives to her cleaners, and we were just getting the wording right. We were talking about what to include in it, what to take out of it, and that's the sort of stuff that we do on a weekly basis. Now she is one to watch. This woman is going to be, she will be a multimillionaire, but she is also, like you, Will, she is looking at the luxury market. And that's where I wanted to connect her to you, because she is looking to be able to have a point of difference or be able to understand what she needs to do to get the big rates per night. So I'm super glad that you guys are connecting. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, of course. We were talking about that and she was like, yeah, I want to go for ultra luxury. And she's nailing it down. Like, you got whatever you guys are doing, keep it up, because she was just describing the properties for one, the beauty that they are, the service that she has so many good questions and so many good ideas and thoughts, and especially like putting a Tesla on one. I was like, brilliant. Wish I thought of that. So it's really cool to see what you're doing. And just I think, like you said, you're well on your way for that goal of $5 million host to follow the legacy as well as the book.
Yeah.
It's just incredible. Really incredible. I love what you're doing. And of course, like we keep mentioning Clubhouse, we're just going to be continuing this this marathon, it feels like, of just consistently doing this. But I love it. And I want to just say thank you for, of course, you know, taking time to drop knowledge onto the Slick Talk audience and for myself as well, always learning. Where can people find you? That's what I want to know. Where can people find you and your book?
Yeah, Clubhouse is probably the number one addicted social media platform that you can find me on. And every Sunday afternoon on Clubhouse, so Sunday 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I run a room called Airbnb Success Stories, and that's where we get other $1 million hosts that, you know, like yourself, Will, you've been on our panel quite a few times, that I want to talk to the people that are high level, who've got the success, who can share the tips. We throw topics at them and we get a very big audience, because everyone likes hearing success stories. And, you know, if they can be inspired and we can encourage somebody else to maybe take on board a tip that somebody drops, then we're doing our job. So join me on Clubhouse there. But the other thing is, the book is available on Amazon or on any leading online bookstore. If you buy it and read it and you like it, please throw a good review on there. I'm tackling, there's a review on Amazon that I just keep coming back to. I got a 1-star review on Amazon, somebody saying that I was a drunk soccer mum. But anyway, you've got to laugh at some of these bad reviews. So I need good reviews to push that bad one down the hill a little bit. But I promise, if you buy the book, you don't like it, I'm going to give you your money back. Please know that that's the case, but you'll like it. But you can also connect with me. I would welcome anybody to book in. I do free half-hour consultations, Zoom consults, to help others. And that can be booked through milliondollarhost.com.au.
Perfect. Yeah. And for the audience, I'm going to put everything in the show notes. And if you DM me or Julie, I'll even do this. If you DM Julie and she tells me that someone that listened to this episode DM'd her using the word Slick Talk Club, then I will give you a free invite for Clubhouse. I'll just give out invites for.
I'll tell you what, if they do, let's up the ante on that. The first five people that DM me and say slick talk, what is that the words we want to use?
I put slick talk club. I don't know, because Clubhouse, right?
There you go. DM me, put slick talk club, or you've heard this podcast. The first five people I will give a free ebook to. So, perfect. So let me know. And yeah, I would be happy to just. Look, I'm giving them away now. So so first five, there's five books in it for you.
Awesome. Yeah, and I'll even put the Instagram into the show notes as well, so that way we can get the DMs going. That's awesome. Well, thank you,
Julie. I know how to use Instagram.
Yeah, thank God for millennials, right?
Oh, man.
That was awesome. Well, Julie, you're amazing, and you're like such a, like it's 5 p.m. here. I've been working since 6 a.m. and so I'm still jacked up from this conversation that I could probably start working a couple more. So I love it. This is so awesome. I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show, and I can't wait to see you in the club, Clubhouse, that is, for all the audience. And then of course, dropping this episode and making sure that everyone that listens gets some value.
Thank you so much for having me on your show, Will.
Of course. Well, Slick Talkers, all the show notes will have the links below. Go ahead, check them out. So reach out if you have any questions, and we would love to help. And you have been listening to Slick Talk.
Thank you so much for listening. We love your support and want to provide the best we can to all our listeners. So please find us online, social media, and on Spotify, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast.
What's up, everybody? If you've gotten this far into the episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast, then you are amazing, and thank you so much for tuning in. We want to send you two places really quickly. If you can, check out the show notes and click the hospitality.fm link. Check out all of our other shows on the podcast network. And don't forget, if you have someone that you want to hear on the podcast, then fill out the guest fill out form so that way we can get them on the show. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoy another episode of Slick Talk, the Hospitality Podcast.